beautiful, indescribably beautiful. It's blue, white, different. I couldn't explain it, but it's just so beautiful. Then we'd walk in the islands and gather eggs, and the men were hunting for geese. They didn't get any that day, but we got eggs. That same summer, I got to ceremony, sweat lodge, away from the community. The door faces east, and we're having ceremony, and I'm looking out when they open the door. In my mind is saying, somewhere over there is England, Europe. Not knowing I'd go there. It was another gathering there in this huge, well, it's a double teepee, double wide teepee. The elders told the young men to put it up, and they wanted to meet with me. So up goes the teepee. And the elders come. I hadn't seen them in the community. I didn't even know they were there. They were asking me questions about the West Coast, about the people. And I would tell them about our struggles, about the good things, about the berries, the salmon, the deer. I tell them both sides, the good and the bad. So they're asking me questions, and then they finished. And they were speaking Eno only, and I had an interpreter. And they said to the interpreter after they finished asking me questions, they said, ask him if he has a question for us. I said, yes, I do. This comes, you know, how things happen. It just comes out of nowhere, seems like it. I said to the interpreter, ask them if they know why we're in trouble right across Canada with poverty, addictions, violence, loss of language, etc., etc., etc. So he asks them. And they're speaking together in their language. Then there's silence, and the interpreter says, they know, Jerry. I says, oh. And he says, they want to tell you that we're in trouble as people because we're breaking our own laws. And they gave an example of the long bones and the caribou, because they followed the caribou all their lives for centuries. Lived off the land, and their caribou was one of their main food. And said, the elders said that they used to bundle up the long bones, the legs, and hang them in trees to let the caribou know, we respect you. We thank you for being our food. And the elder said, you go down to the community here and you see dogs dragging around long bone. We're breaking the law. Once we break one of our laws, we break another and another and another. And that's why we're in trouble. And it made sense to me. Because until that time, I was blaming the government and the church for all our problems, alcohol and drugs. Changed me. That teaching those elders gave me. While I was there, I crashed or burnt out. I was working by myself with the people. And I, you know, my tent, Sunday, saying I want to go home, I'm done. I've given everything I can give, I'm done. And I said to my boss, send me home, and he says, no, you're doing good, Jerry. They're listening to you. People like what you're saying. Part of my life, I have a hard time saying no, so I say, okay. But that Sunday, I was sitting in my tent, depressed. So, when you free yourself, you can heal. And what happened with me was the thought came to me that what's happening here and what's happening with all of the indigenous people are literally man-made problems, therefore we can fix them. When I was weeping, when I was thinking these thoughts, I was tired. But when the thought came out, man-made problem, we can fix it, I had strength again. I could work again. So that was Labrador. Big teachings there for me. Then Ground Zero. I said, where did it start? Plymouth Rock in Massachusetts. So I was at the Summer Games, North American Indigenous Summer Games in Nova Scotia. With my wife, I was an elder for Team BC, one of the elders. Oh, it was so good. Over 5,000 young athletes from North America. Watched them compete, laugh, and have a good time, and be worried about, you know, losing, whatever. It was good. My wife says, we'll go to Boston. Oh, good. I said, I want to go to Plymouth Rock. So we stayed in Airbnb in Falmouth, not too far from Plymouth. So Plymouth to Plymouth. I went to Plymouth, England, and I go to Plymouth in the United States of America. And I find out that Massachusetts is the language of the people that were there. You know, the first ones, the Uhulamiocha, the original people. Such a opportunity to be what I had called ground zero. The place is called Patyuchit, which means a place of running water for the Wampanoag people. The Uhulamiocha were Wampanoag. Their language was Massachusetts. In 1614, they were hit by the smallpox, the plague, and they lost, they say, between 90 and 95% of their population. First ones in North America, ground zero. The pilgrims came in. There was cornfields. Wampanoag people were corn. They grew corn, beans, and squash. Pilgrims moved into their cornfields and built houses there. Took over. Even then, the Wampanoag people, before the plague, were helping the people from Europe survive the cold and helping them, teaching them what foods to have. So that happened right across North America. Statlium people helped Simon Fraser. You know, and, with the Wampanoags, I read this. We are this heritage site. And it says, one of the statements were, the interactions between the Wampanoag and these English people over the first 70 years was cooperative. Wampanoags were helping them, teaching them. And also it became adversarial. They'd fight each other. Wampanoags were protecting themselves and their people until they got hit with the smallpox. But that 70 years shaped what's going on now in modern North America. Colonization, disease, alcohol, and taking over the land that they occupied and used for thousands of years. I met a Wampanoag, and he's talking about what happened, land back. And she says, yes, people think when I say land back that I want land back. I want land where I can do ceremony, where it's beautiful, where it's peaceful. And I agreed with her. Because this land back, I used to think when I'd hear people say land back, nobody's going anywhere. They're not going to give our land back. And so it perturbed me, it get me angry, get me depressed. So I don't want to talk about land back. But now I'm talking about land back. Let's bring it back to the way it used to be so we can all enjoy it. We can all live off it. Because it is a beautiful country, coast to coast to coast. I've been on the mountains, on the oceans, the rivers, the lakes, the forests. Up in the Alpine, it's so beautiful when you're on top of the mountains. So quiet, and smells so good in the summertime, you know. Beautiful. The mountain meadows with their flowers, the scent. When you go to these places on the ocean, on the beaches, in the mountains, in the forest, it's so beautiful, so peaceful. You can't help but feel harmony, being grounded and connected, being part of the beauty on Mother Earth. You know, because of recovery, dealing with my mental health issues around trauma, residential school, racism, religion, reservations, RCMP, all of the traumas that we've experienced as a people. It's all gone when I'm in the sacred, beautiful spaces. Can't help it. Because of my recovery, nothing altering me like alcohol or drugs. And I see a tree, it's a tree, it's a beautiful tree. When I see the ocean, it's powerful. The tide is powerful. So I'm so glad I recovered and I started to wake up. So I can see, I can hear, I can touch. More importantly, I can feel. The magic, the beauty of a full moon night, thunder and lightning in the sky, crash, lightning, snow and rain. Oh, that snow to me is magical. And you walk out in the snow and it's got that special silence. So white, so clean. than to feel the rain coming on top of your head, my head and my shoulders, and to feel that rain and how it cleanses the air, cleanses everything around me. It's powerfully beautiful and magical. Land back. Let's all work together to maintain what we have and to help the land recover where it's been polluted, where it's been harmed. I've seen the destruction of the forests, of pollution and water in the air. Hear the frightening statistics about extinction, something disappearing forever, we'll never see it again or hear it again. It's going to be gone. Yeah, I remember a warning from an elder saying, you know, when the birds fall from the sky and the fish are floating belly up in the water, the change is here. This summer I've seen pictures of fish floating belly up, and I couldn't help but think of the birds and the forest fires flying through the air and smoke overcoming them and them falling to earth. I say, is the change here? Is this happening now? And I remember the elders. They're not saying it's the end of the world. But we're saying the ones that listen to the old teachings are the ones that are going to make it, and that we must work together. You know, when I think of those poor fish and I hear about water in the ocean in Florida being the same temperature as the water in a hot tub, harmful for the fish. I know it's the same in the rivers in BC. When the water gets too warm, it hurts the fish. And I have often wondered why. Can this carry on? Why doesn't anyone, why don't we stop it? And the thought that came to me as I was writing this podcast, it's unhealthy people that are making the land, air, and water unhealthy. They need a healing. You know, I've come to understand one of the sicknesses is greed, and it's tough to heal because a greedy one just doesn't know when's enough is enough. There's no enough for them, they just want more. But if they can get a healing because they have so much influence with their wealth, can they be healed? And I say yes. It requires all of us to become responsible and accountable. Responsible means able to respond. Are we able to respond? The indigenous way of life before contact was a sustainable way of life. No extinction. Always going to be the same year after year after year because of our laws and principles that we lived for generations. You know, the seven generations law, where we're saying to ourselves, like a generation is 80 years, that 560 years from now, our descendants are going to have what we have, and we're going to work so that they could even have more. I mean, what a way to think, what a way to live. Seven generations. Another elder I heard say, it's not seven generations, it's forever. But I could see the seven generations bringing sense, because when I say 560 years from now, will my descendants have salmon? Yes, they will, if we all work together. The other law of being respectful. When I started to respect myself, I can respect others. I can respect the salmon, the deer, the plants, the medicines, and people. That law of generosity, when I can give without expectation of anything coming back, but knowing it will come back, to share with people that have nothing when I have more. That's a good law. That elder doesn't have fish, bring them fish. They don't have the heart of the deer, bring them the heart of the deer because they love that. Be generous with your time and your teachings about how to live a good life and to love. I'd learned my view. Love is not a feeling, it's a positive commitment that's consistent. And when you commit yourself to people, then those good feelings, because they know you're consistent, that they trust your word, they believe in you, that the good feelings flow between each other. So we must become active participants in our family, in our community, and the country. That wonderful teaching of let's say hello to our problems so we can say goodbye to them. The pollution is here. It's causing climate change, global warming. Let's put our minds together to see what we can do in our communities. You know, indigenous people had laws and principles on how to live together in harmony in our homes and community and on the land. So, you know, ground zero, let's make a ground zero of healing in our homelands. We must unite and work together, connect with one another, to work together. To become one mind, one body, one spirit in regards to our life and the life of our the ones that are following us. That's what I now when I say land back, that's what I'm saying inside of myself. This is Sahilthit's belief, this is Sahilthit that has come to this understanding that land back means bring it back to the way it was. I follow that teaching that the land never belongs to me. I belong to the land, which is a good way. So that's my podcast on ground zero and land back. I started a podcast singing a grieving song, Statlium, grieving song. And grieve means to carry heaviness. So when I sing this song, I start to feel lighter. I start to let go. Because this has been troubling me, the forest fires, the floods, the pandemic and things. And it distracts me from looking for solutions. So now I know the solutions is we must revive the old laws of tribal people, indigenous people. Then we can reverse what's happening, land back to being safe, clean environments, healing places. That's what it means to Sahilthit today. So nice to be able to talk to you, to share my thoughts and beliefs with you through this modern storytelling platform called podcast. It helps me to sort my mind out, to remind me of what's right, what's wrong, to keep me going. So you have a wonderful summer. Teach your children how to harvest food in a good way. Berries, medicine, deer, fish, birds, whatever it was, and how we used to live on the land. That'll be our ground zero, going back to our teachings. Thank you.
My name is Jamie Hill. I'm the Design and Communications Manager at Embark Sustainability. I think my favorite thing about Embark is that you do not have to be the climate know-it-all. You don't have to know everything about the issues that are going on. You really just need the passion to get started. So depending on what you're interested in, you might have a unique skill or interest that you don't think is applicable to climate at all, and it turns out you are the people that we need to be part of a community. So I'd really encourage anybody who has even an inkling of interest in climate or food justice to get on board. Embark Sustainability Society is an independent, student-centered nonprofit working across SFU campuses. Embark focuses on climate and food justice in their programs and initiatives. Some of their ongoing work includes their food rescue program, learning gardens, and sustainability career nights. Discover your role in building a sustainable future based on your unique skills and interests. Learn more at EmbarkSustainability.org and follow along on Instagram at EmbarkSustain.
Stats can be hard to understand, but this one isn't. Nearly 1 in 4 people can't afford food in Canada. What does food insecurity look like where you live? Look up your address at foodsecuritynow.ca. That's foodsecuritynow.ca. Join Community Food Centers Canada in making a difference today.